Give your Bibles, turn to the book of Judges. Chapter 16.
I tell you what, we'll just read a few. We'll start in verse 1 and we'll read down through verse 22.
Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fashioned it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. We thank you for each one that's gathered together tonight. Lord, I pray for other churches as they meet across this country, Lord, and Lord, realize that there's a lot of people that are not assembling anymore because of fear in their hearts of this virus that's going around. I just pray that you would just meet with those churches. Lord, strengthen each and every one. Lord, give us faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help us deal with our fears. And Lord, I pray that we would not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Lord, and I pray now that you'd be in the remainder of this service this evening. Lord, you know what each and every one of us stand in need of. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, help me, Lord, for just a little bit this evening. Lord, as we try to encourage the people, Lord, be with those that's watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Lord, for tuning into the broadcast this evening. Lord, have your way, and we'll be careful, praise, and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. In Jesus' sake. I want to preach for just a little bit, Lord, me and my helper, and I'll try not to keep long on the high cost of bad choices. The high cost of bad choices. You think about Samson, he's a very familiar name if you've been in church any amount of time in your life. We grow up hearing the story of Samson and the deeds that he done and how the Lord would come upon him and how he would defeat the Philistines and how God just watched over him and brought him to this point and place in life. But I thought about Samson. He's the strongest man in the world. But he was the dumbest man in the world. I mean, if you go back and read the other woman that he was seeing, I mean, she did the same thing to him. He just didn't ever learn, didn't seem like. I mean, he just kept playing with fire. He just kept dealing with these women even after they had brought in the Philistines and tried to take his life, and they had the Delilah had the audacity, said, "Thou dost not love me." Yet Samson believed that garbage, and he fell into her trap. And and I've heard this said many times: the strongest man in the world, a woman done him in, and the wisest man in the world done him in. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and. And then the man, even after God's own heart, lust got him. Sin got these men because of their failure to make the right choices in their life. And we find here that Samson was a mighty man, and a lot of people, you'll see portrayals of him, no doubt. Sometimes they're this big old man. I think Samson was just a average-sized guy. You wouldn't have thought that, no doubt, that he was a strong man or anything, that he was a Hercules man, but I believe he was just an average-sized guy that God was upon him, and God would come upon him, and he would do extraordinary feats that no man could have done without the power of God in his life. But we find Samson, even though he was a mighty man, his strength is recorded here in Judges. God had blessed Samson greatly, and when God blesses us, I believe He expects us to bless Him or to use that blessing for Him and not for ourselves. But we find Samson on one occasion took the doors of the gate to Gaza. He put them on his shoulder and walked to the top of the hill that was before Hebron. Another occasion we find Samson caught 300 foxes. Now, he was a real fox hunter. Man, it can catch 300 foxes in a night, in one night. He caught 300 foxes and set their tails on fire and turned them loose in the fields of the Philistines. Hey, the animal rightist would have really had a field day with Samson for catching those beautiful foxes and lighting their tails up and turning them loose in a field. Amen. But even though Samson was the strongest man alive, sin destroyed his life. God had blessed Samson and delivered the Philistines many times into his hands. But Samson kept playing with sin, and eventually payday came. We see Samson in the prison house with his eyes gone and grinding daily there in the prison. No doubt, every time he made a lap, he thought of the times that God had used him to deliver Israel. Some of you tonight that may be watching by the webcast or may be here, you may be grinding because of sin, but I'm glad to tell you tonight, hey, you can get out of the prison house this evening. I want to look at some thoughts this evening on what sin cost this great strong man. The high cost of bad choices. All of us have choices to make. And we've been making choices since we were big enough to experience that in our life, to choose. And we've all made some good choices. Some of us made some bad choices. But anyway, there's going to be some choices that you young people are going to have to make, and it's going to be detrimental to how you spend the rest of your life. Number one, let me say, it cost him, first of all, it cost him his name. What do you think about when you hear the name Samson? Do you think of honor or do you think of shame? I mean, we think of shame. I mean, Samson brought shame upon his parents. He brought shame upon the God that had allowed him to be a Nazarite from his womb, that had chose to use him to be a judge of Israel, to deliver Israel from the Philistines. At one time, he was respected. I've seen a lot of individuals. I've seen a lot of preachers that's made some bad choices. Hey, they were once respected men of God. Hey, but through one bad decision, through one bad choice, hey, it destroyed their ministry and brought shame and reproach upon their name and upon the name of their God. And his name there means sunlight. And you think of some things about sunlight. First of all, we think sunlight brings happiness. I mean, we've been talking about what a beautiful day that the Lord has given us today. The sun's been shining. It's not been too hot. Hey, it's not been too humid. I mean, we've enjoyed the sunlight the last few days. We get when my cousin Rob, we were talking about, hey, we usually sunlight, and sunlight brings to rise over the crest of the mountain. I've sat up there many mornings turkey hunting on Swallow Creek especially. I remember being up there and watching that sun come up, and you'll see just a little sliver come up, and if you'll just sit there and you'll fix your eyes on that sun, hey, you can watch it as it rises. I mean, it's amazing, and it's beautiful when it comes up in the east. And there's places we're going to camp, probably out in Colorado. We'll camp on this hillside, on this mountain out there. And it's open all around there. And I mean, there's some beautiful sunrises and sunsets in that country. And sunlight brings a new day following the darkness of night. Sunlight brings life, without which nothing would grow. I mean, synthesis. Our neighbor out there that rents our house, they had a tomato plant outside, and he put solar lights around that, and he said it made it grow all the time, that light, but it didn't bear too many tomatoes, but it did, it grew. And you know, up in Alaska, they'll say when they have short growing seasons, but they have daylight a long time during the time the plants and the growing season. Hey, they grow some huge pumpkins and watermelon, different things up there in Alaska, because it's sunlight so long during those plants are continuously growing. Hey, but sunlight brings life. And so we see that some things that when we hear the name of Samson, we think of honor or shame. And we think of that shame that he brought upon God and upon his family because of his name. Then we see not only what we think about in his name, but then we see Samson had a great opportunity to do something great for God. I mean, some of the feats that he accomplished are recorded in the Word of God, and they're told in Bible stories and during a Bible school in different times and in Sunday school. Hey, we grow up hearing about Samson. And he had great opportunity to do something great for God. Let me say this evening, if you're saved and you're young and you're not living in a life of sin right yet, let me tell you, you've got an opportunity to do something great for God this evening. Hey, you have your life ahead of you, and I know we're living in perilous times. We're living in hard and dangerous times, but I'm going to tell you, hey, as I mentioned about sunlight, hey, light shines good in dark places. This world is dark this evening as we look around and we see the darkness getting darker and darker all around us in this land. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, we've got great opportunity to do something for God if we'll just put our mind and our heart to it and look to God and use the ability that He's given. I mean, we carry the name of Christ. The Bible tells us over in the book of Acts that they were first called Christians at Antioch. And that was a derogatory name at the time when they were given that name of Christian. Hey, it meant little Christ's. Hey, but you know, Christian is to be Christ-like. And everyone that's saved, if we've been saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, I mean, we've got the great opportunity to be Christ-like in this wicked world. And I promise you, if you're Christ-like in this world, hey, you'll stand out.
Amen.
From the world. I wonder this evening, do we bring honor or do we bring shame to the name of Christ? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I read this poem. It said, it came from your father. It was all he had to give. So it's yours to use and cherish as long as you may live. If you lose the watch he gave you, it can always be replaced. Put a black mark on your name, son. It can never be erased. It was clean the day you took it and a worthy name to bear. When I got it from my father, there was no honor there. So make sure you guard it wisely after all is said and done. You'll be glad the name is spotless when you give it to your son. I'm going to tell you, we've all got the name that we were born with. We come into this world, we received a name of our family. I received the pool name. Debbie received the name Hollis. You know, hey, we've got great responsibility not to bring dishonor to our name, to our parents. Hey, we got a greater responsibility this evening, hey, to bring honor to Christ in our lives. So many people claim the name of Christ, yet they're bringing dishonor. They're bringing dishonor to this Bible, and they're bringing shame to the lives of that individual, and bringing shame to the name of Christ in this world. It cost him his name. Number two, it cost him his freedom. There in verse 21. The Bible said, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. He did grind in the prison house. Hey, he became a slave. The Bible tells us here, he did grind. He was first a slave of sin, but his sin caught up with him. Can I say this evening that sin is a hard master? You may think you're having a good time. Hey, you maybe think you're involved in sinful things of this world, and you may be bringing shame to your family. You may be bringing shame, hey, to God. But I'm going to tell you, hey, it'll catch up with you sooner or later. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Hey, I'd be a fool up here to stand up here and tell you young people, hey, that there's not pleasure in sin for a little while out there in this world. Hey, but I'm telling you, one of these days there's going to come payday. And it's not going to be so much fun then. Sin is a hard master this season. I've seen a lot of people, and you look at it and you see what sin does to their, even does to their body. People think that while they're young, they're invincible, they're not vulnerable to the scars of sin and the things that some of these things that everybody is accepting today brings to their life. Hey, the devil paints a pretty picture of sin. I mean, we've legalized marijuana out here in several of these states now. I mean, you can go and you can legally have recreational marijuana. Just because it's legal don't make it right. And I promise you, usually marijuana leads to other harder drugs. Alcohol is legal today and it's a government sanction. But I'm going to tell you, hey, it don't make it right for the child of God. It don't show you it ended up out yonder with cirrhosis of the liver. Hey, it don't show you out yonder on the highway somewhere. Hey, where you've been drunk and driving and you run into someone and kill someone or kill yourself. The devil paints a pretty picture. The Marlboro man was always cool, man. He was on his horse and they had the beautiful sunsets behind him and talked about Marlboro country, but they didn't show you, hey, the end results of what could happen there if you develop lung cancer in your life.
Right.
Sin is a hard master. Sin will take you further than you meant to go. It'll keep you longer than you meant to stay, and it'll cost you more than you meant to pay. So we see he became a slave. He did grind. We see the choices that he made cost him his freedom. He was no longer a free man. Sin is a hard master. Sin will control you. The more sin you get, the more it takes to keep you satisfied. He couldn't no longer roam on the hills and the mountains of Judea, but he was in the prison house grinding like an ox, like a common animal. He made some bad choices that cost him his freedom. There's a lot of young people this evening that was out having a good time. They didn't think about what was going to happen. Hey, they're in the prison house today. I've told the story of a young man that used to stay with us. We loved that young man, and he loved us. But he just always had his own way. I mean, he was just rebellious. He was just full of rebellion, and he didn't want nobody telling him not what to do. Hey, he was filled with anger. His parents called us one day, and he was giving them some trouble. His dad had got to where he couldn't deal with him. In his younger days, Benny could have took care of him. We went up there to their house that day, and I was trying to talk with him, and I seen his countenance, and I seen it change, and I backed off. But I said, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing worse than domestic arguments, and I knew I couldn't handle that young man. He was strong as an ox. And I just shut up. I'm not dabbling around, but that young man just kept on going. He kept on going, and he kept on going. And him and his buddy one in the morning were sitting in Zion Hill Baptist Church, and I was preaching, and I said this very word. I said, you're going to either wind up in hell or you're going to wind up in jail. Ben ended up, he got married, got this young lady in the motherly way, and they had a baby, and they got married, and he was beaten. He was beating her. He put a bar of soap in a sock and he beat him because they say that that won't leave no bruises. Well, he ended up, you know where he ended up? He ended up in jail. It ain't funny, I tell you. It's a serious thing. Yes. He ended up in jail. He sat under preaching. He sat under Holy Ghost preaching, and he went and he made the bad choice. He went his own way. He ended up in jail. He served his time. One day I was in the shop there, and he pulls up. He had sunglasses on as it gets out of a big old Ford truck. And he said something to me about working on his truck, and I still didn't catch on to who he was. And he finally took off sunglasses and said, you don't know me, do you? And I said, oh, yeah, I know you now. Get out behind them sunglasses. But I haven't heard from him since. We loved that young man, and we tried to help him. We kept him there at the house, and he went to the Christian school. But, you know, everywhere he went to school, he got in trouble. He was in trouble. He made bad choices. And I don't know where he's at today. Hey, but I promise you, hey, you make bad choices, and there's going to be payday someday. He was no longer a free man. He couldn't roam the hills and the mountains of Judea. He was grinding like a common ox. This didn't happen all at once. He couldn't handle the temptation. Hey, Samson had a problem. He had a woman problem. He had a woman problem. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Hey, Paul warned young Timothy. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. I'm going to tell you, you can't go wrong. Hey, when you follow after righteousness and you follow after godliness and you follow after faith, the things that Paul told Timothy. He knew that Timothy, even though he was a young preacher, he knew he was going to be faced with these things. And he knew Timothy had to deal with the flesh. And I promise you, you're going to have to deal with the flesh. Hey, you're going to have to make some choices in your life. Hey, you're going to have to choose whether you're going to serve God, you're going to live for God, hey, that you're going to follow after righteousness and godliness instead of the ways of this world. This world's going to drag you down the wrong way, I promise you. You mark her down. You follow after the ways of this world and this crowd today, and you choose those things over the things of God. Hey, you're going to wind up in trouble one of these days. He couldn't handle temptation. The Bible tells us there's no temptation overtaking you but such as is common unto man. We're all faced with temptation. But with every temptation, God, he said he'd make a way of escape. Hey, the problem is we don't look for the way of escape. We get so confident as Samson did here, and we find out what happened to him, and we find out that he finally told her his heart after all those times. You know, we're stupid like that. We have warnings. You know, God, he's a God of love. He's a God of second chances and third chances. Hey, but God sends messages. He sends people to warn you to flee the wrath that's coming. He sends people to warn you about what sin can do to your life. And when you keep going and you press against the net, and God lets you go so far, but one of these days, hey, you'll break through that net. And you'll be like Samson. You'll be in the prison house. We need to learn to look for the way of escape. You get out with friends. A lot of times there's a lot of young people that have got out with friends and end up drinking and carousing with them. And a lot of them's ended up in a grave, an early grave. I know a young man that come to our church up at Zion Hill, and we was knocking doors, and we met him somewhere, and he had got involved in a robbery somewhere. Because he was with the wrong crowd and he was at the wrong place. He probably wasn't intentionally going to be involved in that robbery. Hey, but it ended up that he got caught. You got to be careful with the crowds you run. You got to look for the escape of the temptation. You'd be better off to get out on the side of the road somewhere and walk home, call mom, dad, or somebody to come get you and confess up instead of riding with someone that's drunken. Or either even going to get you in trouble. Deeper trouble. There are some things worse than death. He couldn't handle temptation. Them women got him. Even over in chapter 14, we find the first thing. I mean, here's another incident. Verse 14, verse 1 said, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife." Ain't that our attitude? Get her. We want it. Hey, I want that woman. Then his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me." But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And it goes on, and he began to talk to her, and he told her a riddle, and he had slain a lion there that roared against him. And the Bible says, verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Number one, he shouldn't have fooled with that carcass. He being a Nazarite, he wasn't supposed to touch a dead body. So we find Samson going against everything that he'd been taught. And he got in trouble. He made some bad choices. I want to redress this. "So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 chains of garments. but ye cannot declare it me, then ye shall give me 30 sheaves and 30 changes of garment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweet. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day, hey, that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto you us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with thee, with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him. Listen to this again. Here he is. This is the first time this happened. I mean, you think this guy would learn. You know, you think a lot of things we get involved with and incidents take place in our life, you think that we would learn. But we go on headstrong in our own ways, wanting to satisfy our own flesh. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. Hey, Samson just never learned. He just kept dabbling around with sin. He kept making bad choices. And we get over here to chapter 16, and we find he does the same thing again. And it cost him. Payday came. He ended up in the prison house. Hey, we need to avoid placing ourselves in a compromising position. So many times, I know as young people, you get placed in a compromising position. You make bad choices. Paul told Timothy again in 2 Timothy 2:22, he said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hey, you don't put yourself in a compromising situation and you won't make a bad choice. Young girls, you ladies, you get yourself in a compromising decision with a young man, hey, you get in trouble real quick. God's told us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Yet we run headlong into it. We put ourselves in situations that we shouldn't put ourselves in. And then we wonder why we come up pregnant later on in life. Or young men get the same situation. They get hooked up with some girl like Samson did, hey, that they shouldn't be hooked up with. He shouldn't have never got hooked up with these Philistine women. And he wouldn't have got himself in a mess. You better watch out, young men, for those Philistines out there. They're looking to trip you up. Hey, we lose our freedom when we play with sin. James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15 said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. They call this the LSD verse of the Bible. Lust, sin, and death. That's where it winds you up at. A lot of times, a lot of premature graves out there today because someone got in their cells in a situation of sin. Some young lady just had to have that young man, and he ended up being a wife beater. You watch the news, you'll see individuals that gets hooked up, and a lot of times they end up dead out there. There's some wicked, evil people, but I'm gonna tell you, if you'll make the right choices, if you'll flee, abstain from the very appearance of evil, hey, you can, most of the time you can head off anything in your life. I know bad things happen to good people sometimes, but I'm going to tell you, most of it's self-inflicted because we make bad choices. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's a high price to the making the bad choices in your life. Number three, and lastly, it cost him his eyes. before he was blinded physically, he'd been blinded by sin. Before he'd been blinded physically, he'd been blinded by sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 said, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them." I'm going to tell you that our generation is blinded by sin tonight, and they can't see, and they won't see. Hey, they won't see the good news of the gospel, that Jesus can save them by trusting and believing and placing their faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. It cost him his eyes. He no longer saw the things of God, the spiritual things. And that's what happens. The more you get in sin, the more bad choices you make. Hey, you get more blinded. And finally, you'll just think, hey, that's a bunch of hogwash. Go your own way. You get involved in sin and you get out there so far. Hey, and some of them never get back. A lot of people take that verse, "Train up a child in the way to go, and when it's old, not depart from it." Hey, they think that verse means, well, I tried to train them up right, and I tried to put something in them, but I'm going to tell you, that ain't what that verse means. Hey, that verse means, I believe, training them children, teaching them the right way, setting an example in the home, in their life, hey, that they can see that it pays to serve God, because a lot of kids have been raised in church, and they went their own way, they watched mom and daddy, hey, they didn't live what they taught and what they said they believed, and they went their own way, and they never get back. They never get back. Just because you carry them to church don't mean that they're going to get back. We got to set the example. We got to live before them. He no longer saw the things of God, the spiritual things. I want to tell you, hey, there's a lot of folks today that are spiritually blinded to the things of God. They have no discernment. This is the most undiscerning generation that go to church, a lot of them. Hey, they don't have more discernment than anything. He no longer saw things of God. He no longer saw the will of God. There in verse 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out at other times. As at other times before, I'll shake myself." And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Hey, he lost his discernment. Said he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. You harden your heart and you go against the things of God. You continue to go in your own way, in the ways of the world, in the ways of sin. And I'm going to promise you, you'll end up one of these days, hey, you'll lose discernment. You won't know what's right and what's wrong. There's a lot of people in that shape today in good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. Because we think we can dabble around with the world and live like the world and act like the world and be like the world. Wish not that have not the power of God. He was no longer the strong man. Can I say Satan's master of deceit this evening? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that no marvel that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. I said this a long time ago. I used to watch Marquise a lot more than I do now, but on signs in churches. The Holy Ghost get blamed for a lot of things he ain't involved in. They have no discernment. Satan's a master of deceit. He'll paint a pretty picture. Hey, we're living in the Laodicean church age, and that word Laodicea means the people's rights. Everybody wants their rights today. The Bible says, "What? No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price." Hey, we're not our own. We belong to Jesus. He deceives through religion. Hey, all this stuff going on in churches today is not of God. You say, "You're being judgmental." No, I'm telling you what's true. Amen. They're preaching out corrupt Bibles. They've got rock and roll music in their churches, and you couldn't tell the difference whether it's rock and roll or Christian if you didn't listen to some words. We're music crazy anyway. He deceives through religion. He deceives through riches. He deceives through rebellion. I've watched people sit on the church pews. They're full of rebellion. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their actions.
Amen.
You can see it in how they carry themselves. The Bible says that rebellion is as witchcraft. And stubbornness is iniquity. And that word iniquity means wicked. He deceives through rebellion. He deceived Adam and Eve by sight. That fruit that he told them not to partake of. She seen that it was good. And she took of that. And brought and gave it to Adam. And Adam, through the willingness of his taking of the fruit, brought sin upon all mankind. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He deceived by sight. It looks pretty good at the time when you look at it. It might look like you're going to have a good time. But I'm going to tell you, the end results is usually in the prison house, grinding, grinding, grinding. He deceives us by what we allow in our lives. He deceives us by what we allow in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22-23 says, "The lie of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." How great is that darkness? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. One of those three will get you somewhere in your life. Not only it cost him his eyes, but it cost him his family. It cost him his family. Samson, here we find him down at the prison house. He's grinding daily. Round and around. As he's there, no doubt he's got a lot of time for thinking. His hair begins to grow back again. But it cost him his family. Sin will drive a wedge in your family. We don't read of his parents anymore. Sin separates. Sin separates. That fellowship won't be there that it used to be. Sure, the love's still there. But sin drives a wedge. If we're trying to be obedient to God and our families in sin, it drives a wedge. Sin separates. Sin saddens. Judges 14, 1 through 4 that I just read about a while ago, it saddened the parents of Samson because he wanted that woman, that Philistine woman. They tried to teach him right. Sin not only drives a wedge, but sin not only destroys us, but families too. Sin not only destroys us, but it destroys our families too. Sin always complicates life. Sin always complicates life. I forget what the preacher's name was that come through up at Zion Hill, but he preached a little short message one time, about 10 minutes, on sin always complicates life. It'll complicate your life. It'll complicate your family's life. It'll complicate those that you're involved with. Sin affects everything around, everybody around us. You think, well, it ain't hurting nobody but me. You're wrong. You're wrong. When God-fearing parents raise their children and they see those children go astray and they get involved in sin, hey, it affects them in their life. Sin affects those around us. That's a foolish statement of that. I'm not hurting anyone but myself. You're hurting everyone that loves you. You're hurting your church. When you get in sin, you bring a reproach upon the church, the body of Christ. The Bible said Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. I preached on those things, what makes the church great this morning. I'm going to tell you, hey, the church is a great body of Christ that's left in this world to be effective to this world. one of these days, the rapture of church, we're going to get raptured out of here. The restraining power of the Holy Ghost is going out. All hell's going to break loose on this earth. And if you're not saved, you're going to be left here. And I'm going to tell you, the rapture of church could take place any day, any time. It could take place before we get through this service this evening. And if you're left here and you've had the opportunity and you've rejected the power of God, hey, you're going to see all hell break loose on this earth. It's going to be a terrible time. We find different individuals. Achan, I believe we preached on him the other day in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24. God told the children of Israel, he said, march around Jericho seven times, and on the seventh day, march seven times, something to that effect. But anyway, they marched and the walls fell down flat. He told them, he said, don't take no spoil from the city. Achan took that Babylonian's garment. He hid it in his tent. He got in trouble. Hey, they went up to fight this little old country there, and he said, don't send all the men up. Just send 3,000 or 4,000, something like that. He said, we'll whoop them. They went up there and they got whooped. Joshua said, why? What's happening? And they were sin in the camp. Achan's sin affected the whole nation of Israel. Hey, it affected that battle there. They went up against AI. Your life affects it, those that are around you, especially those that love you. His family suffered because of his sin. They were all stoned to death, I believe as the story goes. Let me say, the high cost of bad choices. What kind of choices are you making this afternoon? Are you in the prison house grinding because of sin? Samson, the strongest man in the world, got involved by sin. He lost his power. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, a lot of churches across this land that's lost their power because of sin. Because of undealt with sin that's been swept under the rug. Because of sin in the lives of the membership. Sin always affects. It'll affect everyone. I'd hate to be called the cause of my church not having the power of God. I'd hate to have sin in my life and refuse to deal with that and think that, hey, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. When in reality, you're hurting everyone that you come into contact with. The high cost. Bad choices. What kind of choices are you making this evening? Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, thank you for these that's gathered. Lord, I know that we're few in number. And I know, Lord, that this is maybe a hard message, a hard thought. But Lord, it's a needed message. Lord, if there's ever been a time that our sin needs to be pointed out and what it's doing to our lives and to our children, Lord, it's today. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts this evening. Lord, help us all just search our hearts this evening. If there's anything that's in our lives, Lord, that's hindering and stagnating our church, Lord, I pray that we get it, be willing to be honest with ourselves. Lord, we're living in a dishonest generation today, and we refuse to even be honest with ourselves about our sin. Help us, Lord, to get to that point and place where we would be honest with you, with ourselves, and with those around us. Lord, help us not to be like Samson, end up in the prison house grinding because of sin. Lord, we know that Samson in the latter days, Lord, his hair grew and they brought him in to make sport. And he cried out to you, bless him, just this once. And he leaned upon the pillars and pulled down the pillars of the building, Lord. And killed all those Philistines. Lord, you used him even in the latter point of his time of his life, Lord, but he died in that building with those Philistines. God, help us, Lord, this seed. Lord, these young people, Lord, that's got their life ahead of them. Lord, if you don't come soon, Lord, they're going to face some things. Lord, and I just pray that you'd help them to be honest with themselves. Quit living in a fantasy world that they can do as they please, live as they like. Lord, if there's one here lost this evening that don't know you as their Savior, God, I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, this evening you convict that heart. Lord, I pray that you draw them to you somewhere before this night's over with. Lord, we love you, and we thank you again for Open Door Baptist Church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for our visitors today, Lord. And as they go back to Florida, Lord, I pray that you give them a safe trip. Lord, I pray that they'll go back and be fired up. And, Lord, their church get back in business again, Lord, and through all this COVID, Lord. And we realize things are happening all around this land. Churches are having to close. Lord, I pray that you would minister to hearts. And, Lord, help us to get fueled up and fired up. Lord, looking for you to do something. Have your way, and we love you, and we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.